Good morning, Sower Nation. It's Tuesday, May the 28th, 2024, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what that means. It's Tuesday. And that means tacos. Let's begin this Tuesday with our prayer of consecration. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead. And Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, When the Holy Spirit Blocks the Way. Our text comes from Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10. Hear now the word of the Lord. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. A few years back, a young friend of mine started college. This kid ticked all the boxes: smart, attractive, talented, athletic, winsome, and I could go on. He also lived life with a deep faith in Jesus Christ. He thought it would be a good idea to go through Rush and join a fraternity. It would be a good chance to make friends and be a witness for Christ in the Greek community. He put everything in order. He knew a lot of people. His references were stellar. Everything was set. Everyone back home encouraged and prayed for him fervently. One big problem. He was rejected by every fraternity. No one could understand it, and he was understandably crushed. It's a pretty hard way to start college. It was a kind of modern-day Bithynia story. After getting past the shock of it all and counseling with his family and friends, they gained clarity on what might be happening. Here's how they reasoned together. He trusted God with the decision to go through Rush. He sought the counsel and prayers of people around him. He did everything he knew to do within his responsibility and control. It did not work out. For whatever reason, God must not have wanted him in a fraternity. I can think of a few. The Holy Spirit kept him from being admitted into the Greek system. The life hid with Christ in God, the way of following Jesus, must be constantly interpreted. Direction must be continually discerned. I'm convinced this is the way it was with Paul and his companions. Did the Holy Spirit audibly declare out of nowhere, "Paul, you can't preach the gospel in Asia now, and I don't want you to go to Bithynia"? It's possible, but I doubt it. If Luke tells us about the vision of the man from Macedonia, surely he would have shared this. More often than not, the Holy Spirit guides us through engineering our circumstances. As it often happens, we will find ourselves at the border of entering Bithynia, only to be inexplicably blocked from entering. We will often want to blame Satan. But what if it is the Spirit? One of the Trappist brothers at the Abbey of Gethsemane once said something to me I've never forgotten. God gets us where He wants us, no matter the machinations. The machinations of a vision of a man from Macedonia saying, "Come over here"? Yes. The machinations of a fraternity or sorority system that turns the best and the brightest away? Yes. And here's one of the amazing things about the Holy Spirit. He can take the very machinations of Satan and turn them into the miracle of God's will. Take a look at Genesis 50:20 if you have the time today. We seek, we listen, we discern, we pray, we move, and we see what happens. We can trust God in the closing of doors as well as in the opening of them. As we do all we know to do to seek after Jesus and His kingdom, He will do the rest to get us where He wants us. We can trust that. If you listen in on the podcast recording of today's wake-up call, I'll tell one of my own Bithynia stories. It's a good one. The prayer. We're going to keep praying this Isaac Watts verse 4 from his hymn, "Come Holy Spirit, Heavenly Dove." I'll say the prayer and then I'm going to sing it for us. Come Holy Spirit, Heavenly Dove, with all Thy quickening powers. Come shed abroad a Savior's love, and that will kindle ours. You ready? Come Holy Spirit, Heavenly Dove, with all Thy quickening powers, come shed abroad a Savior's love, and that will kindle ours. Amen. Journal prompts for today. How has the Lord blocked your way in a disappointing fashion that wound up leading to a breakthrough somewhere else? Were you inclined to blame Satan for blocking you? How did you tell the difference? And for our hymn today, we're going to sing hymn number 334. I know we may have sung that one recently, but it just fits today. It fits today. It's called Trust and Obey. And it's number 334 in our Seedbed Hymnal, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Guys, by the way, if you haven't gotten one of our hymnals, I'm putting a deal out there through the end of the month. If you'll order a hymnal today, and if you'll use the code WAKEUPCALL, all one word, I'll waive all the shipping costs. Now, we can't do church orders with that, but we can do personal, individual orders. I mean, you know, one or two, whatever. But this is also a great gift. I'm sorry for going infomercial on you right here in the middle of this, but, you know, Father's Day's coming up would be a great little gift for a father who's reading along with the wake-up call. Send him a hymnal. Anyway, look in the day's email. You get all this information. I'm sorry. Let's get back in the flow. Trust and obey. 334. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way To be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Amen. Well, that song says so much. We need every word of it. It's a perfect song for today, which is why I'm coming back to it. You know, I heard a great quote once. I believe it comes from the great late Danish theologian Søren Kierkegaard, who said something to the effect of, "Life must be lived forwards, but it can only be understood backwards." Looking back, sometimes it's easier to connect the dots, because when you're looking forward, you just don't know. You're doing your best to understand God's will and to take the next step. That's what they were doing, Paul and his companions traveling throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia. They wanted to go to Asia. They thought it was God's will to go to Asia. They thought they had heard from the Lord. But the way kept being blocked. It's very easy to say, well, the devil's blocking our way. Satan is blocking our path. And maybe that's the case sometimes, but it wasn't this time. They were kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. We can miss it. Our sense of the Lord's guidance is why we just don't need to be overconfident. We need to be confident, but we need to realize that our understanding must be tentative, right? We can take a step, but sometimes the Lord needed us to take that step to get blocked to actually know the next step, to know the next place. And that's what's happening here. Paul had a vision in the night of a man from Macedonia. That's where we get the term the Macedonian call. That wasn't in his idea bank. It wasn't in his bucket list, you know, I want to go to Macedonia. No, Paul was maybe brought into a place of humility and submission to like scratch his head and say, Lord, help me understand. Help me hear more clearly. And sure enough, that was the call. And you know what? This is how the gospel first went to Europe. This Macedonian call. This is how Paul's going to get to Philippi. This is where he's going to meet Lydia. This is where we're headed. I said I was going to tell one of my own stories. You know, I had entered a contract with HarperCollins Zondervan several years ago to write a book called, well, it was a book about the second half of the gospel, subject near and dear to my heart. I've been kind of digging this well for a long time, and they wanted the book, and I entered a contract, and I carved out a good season of weeks to write this book. I asked for prayer. A lot of people were praying. Everything seemed to line up, but when I got to the window of opportunity, I was blocked. And, you know, it wasn't writer's block. I don't have a problem writing. I think I'm helped by God, but I write a lot. And I don't want to say it was writer's block. I think it was the Holy Spirit blocking the way. That was my Bethania moment in that season. And I just couldn't do it. I would try. There was no way to explain it. And something told me it wasn't Satan that was blocking. Something told me it was the Lord. And it wasn't too long after that the publisher came to me, and they had a breakthrough kind of idea. It's something they had been really close to before, but they said, we think it's the right move to actually start publishing your daily text in now wake up call writings, that's the way that is open. And all of a sudden, it was a yes. It was a, I don't want to overplay my hand here and call it a Macedonian call, but they hold the keys to the Roman roads of our times in terms of publishing. And so just last week, I was in Little Rock and I was in a studio recording the audible version of my series on 1 Peter, which will be the first one that they are publishing. They've entered into a contract with me to publish 6 books in 3 years. It's unprecedented, I think, in their world to do this. And of course, I'm not a famous person. I'm not somebody that they're going to put on a billboard and everybody's going to come buy the books, but I don't know how it's going to go, but I know we're being obedient. And they're going to publish the Romans material. After this Acts series, I'm going to work on Exodus, and they're going to publish that. They're going to publish 1 John. Anyway, join with me in prayer over this. I don't see how it's going to go, but the Lord has it, and maybe it will. Well, if He has it, you know, there's no stopping it. But anyway. That's a story in the making. It's a Bethania story. I know you've got these stories too. I'd love if maybe some of you would send a Holy Spirit story just telling me some of these stories. I'd love to share them on Saturdays. Well, guys, we got to close. It's Tuesday. It's Taco Tuesday. Okay? So let that be the reward at the end of the day. Get your seeds. Let's get to sowing. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.